Well, everybody, welcome back to Trick Pots and Juggles TV on this beautiful Saturday. It is June 24th, 2023. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Make sure that you hit that like button, subscribe, comment, leave me a hello, email me, follow me on Instagram, David Trigg. Talking today about my biggest failure. So I don't drink, I don't sleep around, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't gamble. I do like to buy guitars, actually. I haven't bought one in a while, but no, my biggest failure has something to do with those typical things. I'm not saying I'm some perfect human being, but my biggest failure really was church, was my last church. And here's what I mean by even just why talk about or what's the point. So as an Enneagram 3, our growth, or what God often uses to refine us, to prune us, is failure. And those failures, or the big failure, as I like to call it, it changes us. It is Joseph Campbell likes to call it the atonement or the conversion. It's when you go from personality to being basically more like Jesus, more like the real you, maybe the original you, before you learn to fake it till you make it, or whatever thing we do to be loved in this world and to survive. So when I was a young man in my late teens, early teens, like maybe 10, 11, 12, not even early teens, preteens, I went through a war and I came here to the U.S. and I quickly learned that in order to survive or feel safe in this country, I had to be the best. At least that's what I told myself. Nobody told me that. Nobody forced me. But I felt like I had to be the best. And really, that's just who I was. I can't say that something made me that way. That's just who I've always been. And so for the next, you could say 40 years, 30 years, I then drove myself to be the best. And I think that that culminated itself when I became the lead pastor of my last church. It was my dream job. The success metrics were all there. The title, the budget, the salary, the staff, the name, you name it. It was what I wanted. And I succeeded at it. In a year, I had the place packed and it was just amazing. It was just great. And then it all just fell apart. My church basically died in 5 years. The pandemic basically killed it. And it all fell apart. And I failed. I left there. And it was one of those mutual, we're both glad to see each other go our separate ways. And it was very painful for me and for them. And it was my biggest failure to not succeed as a lead pastor. I had done it before for the previous few years, but as I said, that was my greatest accomplishment. And I thought I would do that for a long time, but it was driven out of ego, out of my own desire to succeed. I hadn't learned the lessons that I had to learn. One of the commentators or podcasters or spiritual directors, really, he just also records a lot of videos, but Richard Rohr, he talks about Martha Stewart and her big failure when she went to jail and how hopefully that taught her how to become more human. Certain personalities, I'm no Martha Stewart, but my point is that certain personalities like us who are success-driven people have to experience huge, big failures. Now, for somebody else, they could say, oh, that wasn't that bad, or your church is fine, or you did fine, or whatever, right? But for me, that was my greatest failure, to not be able to keep my church thriving and to really be the pastor of a church of 500, 1,000, 5,000. That really was my goal, and that's why it failed, because that shouldn't have been my goal. But again, I had to go through that big, painful lesson. Now, what has happened since? Well, it's been 2 years almost this summer here, and it's been rough. Not only that failure, but then losing my father-in-law, losing my mother-in-law, losing my uncle, seeing our kids grow up and basically leave home soon. A lot of those things have really been painful. All the midlife stuff. See, my beautiful wife lose her parents. She also went through stuff at work. Of course, the pandemic. I mean, we all remember that thing, you know, that little thing. All of these all of these pressure points have definitely been overwhelming. And like someone said the other day, it's what psychologists call overwhelming or overwhelmment. It's the tyranny of having so many things on your plate that you don't know which way to turn. And that's what it feels like. Of course, my faith has been strong and I've sought out Jesus and counseling and therapist and prayer. And I've served in my local church and loved my wife and not worked out much. I've kept a couple jobs. I'm subbing. I'm hoping to teach full time here in the next, hopefully, year to help more people. And I've been serving at my local church, did a lot of great things, produce a bunch of music for a lot of great Christian artists. But my emotions and my grieving are still healing, are still wounded since that big failure of basically losing my church, losing my job, my identity, my salary, my office, all those things that gave me such, I don't know, status, such peace. I thought that's what my success would look like or my peace it would come from. But really, it never came from that. Even when I was succeeding, even when I did bring my church to great numbers and an amazing buzz and all that stuff, even then I didn't feel like I was succeeding because it just wasn't, it wasn't really me. There were just a lot of problems. And so part of what Richard Rohr was talking about with threes, Enneagram threes, is that we have to, you know, we're the peacocks, right? We're the lions. But what we have to realize is that a peacock is actually just an ugly chicken without its feathers, just like the rest of us. And that's been very, very freeing, believe it or not, for me, just to be another John on the bus or another Joe on the bus or another bozo on the bus. That not that I feel like I'm some bozo or some just whatever, worthless. No, I don't feel that way. No, I do struggle with issues of worth and shame, of course, as a three. But my point is that the spiritual practice for threes is to move to the six. And the sixes are very unassuming. I have a son who's a six and he's just unassuming. He's beautiful, gorgeous, tall, handsome, strong, blah, blah, blah. But he's just not into that. It doesn't bother him, or he doesn't notice it. Whereas a three, that's all he wants, he or she. So as life converts me, as I am atoned, as I go through atonement, meaning death and resurrection, I am painfully recovering post that great failure of losing my last church and failing at it as a lead pastor. And but at the same time, by the grace of God, I'm discovering, like I said at the beginning, my true religion, my true me, which has always been just a happy kid who just loves music and loves God and just isn't really assuming anything, just who simply wants to be around the things of God. And maybe one last story. When I was, it was just last July, a year ago, pretty much this month, when I was at my church in July last year, I did a class called Freedom in Christ. It was just a beautiful, beautiful class. And I could honestly say that besides a Zoom class that I did during the pandemic for my previous church, that class was maybe the best thing I've ever done in my whole life. I've led worship for thousands. I've produced great music. I've preached in front of hundreds of people, podcasts, blah, blah, whatever, right? But that class, 12 weeks, baptizing 21 people at the beach, passing out certificates at the end of that class, teaching every Wednesday for an hour and a half, everyone in chairs and in tables, taking notes, and just feeling like I was making a difference in a teaching environment, not preaching, not leading worship, but more in a classroom environment, like the Zoom class that I did, like some of the classes that I taught for Veti. It truly gave me life. I've realized that inside of me, there's just a teacher. I took a test, I don't know, a few years ago when I was at my previous church about personality and gifts and all that stuff. And of course, I always come out super high in teaching. That's just who I am. I'm a natural born teacher. I am not really a natural preacher. I am a good musician and worship leader. I am a disciple maker for sure. A mentor, coach, and producer, blah, blah, blah. But really the essence of what I like to do is to teach. And now the reason is because when I teach, I feel like I'm like my dad. My dad was a coach, nonprofit coach, and you could say teacher, trainer. And I miss him dearly. I was without him basically since age 12, 13. And of course, he loved me. He wrote me letters. He came to our wedding. I mean, he was in my life as much as possible. Then he passed away when he was 57. But I wish he could have mentored me for the rest of his life, for the rest of my life, all the way till he was 80 or 90. How I wish I would have him right now, still. He could still be alive. He would be like 78 or 80. But I haven't had him for the last 30 years, pretty much, or 25 years. So in that absence, guess what I've wanted to do my whole life? Is to be a mentor and a teacher and a father, basically, to others. And teaching allows me that. You could say that teaching allows me to be that mentor, to be that father figure to young people. I mentioned that the last 6 months I've been subbing, and I did elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. I realized that I love high school. I love that age, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. I love teaching. I love the classroom. I love teaching young people. I've thought about college, teaching at a college level, maybe at a Long Beach City or a Long Beach State. I'm not sure if there are enough jobs or even pay, and there is a huge need in high schools and better pay in high school for teachers. And guess what? Does that sound fancy to be a high school teacher? No, but that's the point. That's the peacock putting down its feathers and just being an ugly chicken like the rest of us. It's so liberating for me to not be looking to be more than I really am, or to be pursuing some great title or position or name or salary. I'm not saying I don't want to be paid well. I have a master's degree. I have a bachelor's degree, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I deserve to be paid. I have all that stuff. But I need a teaching credential. I have a substitute credential, but, you know, that's just for long-term subbing. And so I still need to do some work. And I don't want to, because I just want to be, hey, I'm amazing, and I am amazing, but I have to pay my dues. I have to start from the bottom. And I've already felt so much affirmation in these places where I've been subbing, from principals and other teachers and directors and vice principals, you name it. It's been a wonderful experience. There are other things that I could do that are maybe more fancy or more shiny, but I really don't want them. Because, as I said, I'm not looking for that anymore. I want to just be another Joe on the bus, another Bozo on the bus, another John on the journey. And to, from there, from that place, from that seat in the bus, to then be awesome. Not for me, but for the sake of the people that I can teach, mentor, disciple. Whether it's online, whether it's through music production, or whether it's teaching at a high school. Or whether it's at a church, volunteering at a church or helping at a church. Whatever it may be, I just want to be average, normal, and not pursue success or titles or status or any of that stuff. My biggest failure has taught me my greatest lesson. But it's okay to be me, no matter how successful I may think I am or successful I'm not. God in life and my wife, most of all, and kids love me for who I am, not for what I'm accomplishing. And from that place, I know God will lift me up and He will do great things. So I hope that if maybe you're out there at midlife, because these things tend to happen in your 40s and 50s, if you're going through a similar death and resurrection, a similar conversion or atonement, a similar big failure that you don't know what to do with, a similar time of confusion, and you're like, what in the heck is going on, God? What is going on? I'm so lost. I hope and pray that you can learn from what I'm teaching and learn from my experience, and maybe we can connect. You can email me at triggerdavidtrigg.com. You can go to my website, davidtrigg.com/coaching, or you can send me a message or DM on Instagram at @davidtrigg, and we can get started and connect. Thank you again for being here, and I'll see you next time. Adios. Don't like the way I am. Why don't you fix me?